I'm Tony Hendra.
And I'm Jeff Kreisler.
And this is the final edition Radio Hour.
30 minutes of sizzling satire with teeth.
And now a message from Freedom Industries in West Virginia.
Mr. Freedom, I've lived in Charleston, West Virginia my whole short life, but my town has never smelled so delicious. What's going on?
Well, Timmy, we at Freedom Industries have inadvertently leaked a delicious chemical into the water. A magical, wonderful, scrum-tastic syrup called 4-methylcyclohexane methanol.
It smells like licorice. Can I drink it?
Good God, no.
But it makes the town smell like Candyland.
More than that, Timmy, it makes the town smell like freedom. Freedom from oversight. Freedom from eco-terrorists. Freedom from liberals. Freedom from Obamacare.
Freedom from tumors?
Sorry, Timmy. Freedom isn't free.
But they hurt so much.
You know, Timmy, we've got a pretty nice little country here. Except for the majority of the population, which voted for that Kenyan fella. But we've all got to make sacrifices for freedom. And Freedom Industries.
What are you sacrificing, Mr. Freedom?
Well, I have to give up going anywhere within 50 miles of your wonderful, wonderful town. But more than that, Freedom Industries will have to give up its name for a while.
Oh, Mr. Freedom.
I know, Timmy. But until that heavenly stench of licorice completely dissipates, and it's soaked pretty deep in the ground, so, you know, Freedom Industries is going to have to call itself something else. Maybe Liberty Industries, or Unconstrained Industries, or Carte Blanche Industries. Ooh, I like that one.
How about Super 5 Happiness Remember 9/11 Industries?
Good one, Timmy. We're all gonna miss you.
But Mr. Freedom, will freedom be gone forever?
No, Freedom Industries will never die. Just all the plant life surrounding it.
Freedom Industries of West Virginia. They may take our lives, but they will never take our freedom. Industries.
The Academy Award nominations have been announced, and the nation's prediction industry is in high gear. But one great director will not be on tenderhooks until March 2nd, Steven Spielberg. Our Pepper Lewis has the story.
Steven Spielberg is a multi-billionaire with a string of blockbusters as long as Amy Adams's hair in American Hustle. But he hasn't won an Oscar for Best Picture since 1993, or an Oscar for Best Director since 1998. And he's still mashing his molars over not getting either last year when he was nominated in both categories for Lincoln. But he's come back big time with a dramatic announcement.
So yeah, come spring, I'll be producing and directing a new blockbuster for DreamWorks, which will make motion picture history. I mean, it could hardly not be a blockbuster, surefire future legend of its time.
Tell us what it's called, Steve.
Saving the Private Diary of Schindler's Pianist.
What's the storyline?
Saving the Private Diary of Schindler's Pianist is set in Nazi Germany during World War II. It will be narrated by Natalie Portman from the diary of a 10-year-old Jewish Polish girl named Anne. She's rescued from a train on the way to Bergen-Belsen by Hector Schindler, brother of famed Oskar Schindler of Schindler's List. Hector is the leader of a Polish resistance group who sabotaged trains bound for the camps. He recognizes Anne as the brilliant 6-year-old piano prodigy he once heard play at a recital in the Jewish ghetto of Krakow.
Thank you.
too are pursued through Eastern Europe by a vengeful SS officer with a monocle named Klimt. One day before the war ends, he captures them in Normandy.
Herr Schindler, wait! I cannot my private diary leave behind in...
Alt! I have you now, you fools!
And forces Anne to play for him in a bombed-out cafe. When they're rescued by an American infantry squad under the command of Tom Hanks.
Here, kid. We found your diary.
Oh, God bless you, brave Yankee soldier.
And they're flown to safety in England, where they're greeted by King George VI in an hour-long speech he has been rehearsing since 1939.
Yay! Anne and Herr Schindler, England is... prepared to welcome you to our
Oh, that is
wonderful.
I can't think of anything.
I will never be in the mood to watch it, but that is amazing.
But there's one more big surprise to this story. Here's President of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, Cheryl Boone Isaacs.
We of the Academy feel that although Steven's new masterpiece is not even cast, let alone shot, it would be insulting to make a feature film of this monumental stature wait almost a year to be honored. So, by an unprecedented, extraordinary vote of the Academy, saving the private diary of Schindler's Pianist is declared the best picture of 2014 and Steven, best director.
I want a Bay of Tortoise.
So much.
And now, in a brand new low for the final edition, we bring you Famous Farts in Congressional History.
May 3rd, 1982.
Next item on the agenda, the Medicare issue.
Oh, Speaker O'Neill, that is disgusting.
It wasn't me. That was not me. It was Ted Kennedy.
You are a filthy liar, Speaker O'Neill. You're disgraceful.
Well, if that isn't the pot calling the kettle black, it probably was Kennedy, even though he was way over there.
Kennedy stinks. Kennedy stinks. Kennedy
You're stinks. All louses.
Kennedy
How
stinks.
Dare you?
January 16th, 1820.
And I, Henry Clay, propose a compromise that would allow Maine into our United States as a free state, and the Missouri Territory as a slave state.
Oh, Senator Clay, was that you?
Perhaps it was, and perhaps it wasn't. I will concede that it is very much my pickled eggs and lager stink if three of you take a deep inhale.
Agreed.
Oh, I'm gonna toss this... Stink has no compromise.
April 24th, 1954.
Senator McCarthy, you have the floor.
Thank you, Speaker. Citizens, there is a communist plague in this country that must be hunted out.
Oh, Senator McCarthy, what did you eat for lunch? Good Lord!
That wasn't me.
Oh, the silent ones are the worst.
The deadliest, Speaker.
It wasn't me. It was one of you. One of you, and I'll find you. As God is my witness, I will find you.
That was Famous Farts in Congressional History. Join us next time when we examine the worst dumps of President Lyndon Baines Johnson, excluding his efforts in Vietnam, his worst dump of all.
Welcome to This Week in Jersey, where we explore avenues, streets, and roads along the highways, parkways, and skyways of Jersey Tort. With me are my guests, all Jersey-born, Governor Chris Christie, Bruce Springsteen, Lou Costello, Janine Garofalo, and Martha Stewart. Hey!
Hey!
Hey.
How are you doing?
Governor Christie has been accused of taking his eyes off the road and taking a detour into an unmarked route of corruption. Will he pay the toll? Bruce Springsteen?
Well, you know, sometimes your daddy comes home every night for 34 years from a job that he hates, and you sit at the table and have hard truths for dinner. But you hope one day everything will be all right. And now, here's a song about vehicular transport. Hey, little girl, do you think you know where your daddy keeps the traffic cones? I got a bad desire. I'm a liar.
I am not a liar. I am not a bully. I am not a lying bully. I am not a bullying liar. I don't listen to Wooly Bully. I don't listen to Wooly Liar.
Can I say something to the governor, please?
One half of Abbott on Costello, Lou Costello.
Governor Christie, why can't you just say, I've been a bad boy?
I'd like to weigh in here, if I may.
The genius of Menlo Park, Thomas Edison.
As an inventor, I believe that Chris Christie is 99% perspiration and 1% a real fuck.
Does anybody else have a different take on Governor Christie? Janine Garofalo?
I would, but I can't find my yellow legal pad.
You mean the one you carry on stage to all your shows so paying customers can watch you going over your notes in front of them while you don't remember anything?
Maybe. My answer to that is on my pad.
Sorry, I ate your notes. I didn't know they were yours. Want me to fire someone?
Excuse me, Governor Christie, I have a fun gift suggestion.
Yes, convicted felon Martha Stewart.
Take the voters' trust, mix it with petty vindictiveness, then fold democracy into an unrecognizable shape and shove it up the mayor of Fort Lee's ass. It's a good thing.
In fairness to me, I thought that's what I did do.
Don in the USA, he is. Don in the USA, he is.
Gone in the USA.
I'm a long gone fatty in the USA now.
Hey, that's our exit. Join us next time when my guest will be the mayor of Fort Lee's ass.
Now it's time for episode 2 of Michelle Bachman, Girl Detective. Our story begins when Michelle and her sidekick Marvin run into an old pal.
Congressman Daryl Issa, why are you out of breath?
Marvin, Michelle, boy, I sure got a mystery for you.
Hey, I'm good at mysteries.
I've been investigating President Obama because of Benghazi. I thought Al-Qaeda was behind the attack on the embassy, and I thought the president was covering it up. So I investigated and investigated and investigated and investigated.
And what happened next?
Then I investigated and investigated and investigated and investigated.
And what did you find out?
Nothing. So I investigated and investigated and investigated and investigated.
Is this going anywhere?
No. So then the New York Times investigated, and they found out there's no evidence Al-Qaeda was even involved. So, no Al-Qaeda, no cover-up of Al-Qaeda.
And what's the mystery?
The mystery is, who wasted everyone's time with this pointless investigation?
He did. Daryl Issa. He just said he ran the investigation.
Did he?
Did I?
I didn't hear.
I only half listened to myself. But the mystery is, why won't the president apologize?
Apologize for your investigation?
Exactly.
This has been a massive waste of everyone's time. Investigating why the president lied when the president did not actually lie. Wouldn't you agree that's bad?
Well, yeah, but you...
And isn't it somebody's fault?
Yes, you.
So, why won't this administration name the person responsible for me wasting everyone's time?
Because you're responsible for you wasting everybody's time. The person who should apologize is Daryl Issa. It's an easy name to remember. It's the name you always give whenever somebody asks your name.
Why can't they just name the person responsible? It's a simple question.
It must be a cover-up.
Covering up? That there was no cover-up.
The president must be held accountable.
To the Bachmobile!
What?
Did you know that water that has been boiled in a microwave, then cooled, is harmful to plants? Well, it isn't. But millions of people now think it is. Thanks, Internet! Lana Peterson stole OxyContin from her grandmother, who needs it to live. Here are Lana's picture and address, posted by her ex-boyfriend, who is lying. Thanks, Internet! The person who would otherwise write the next War and Peace just spent the day at BuzzFeed writing a listicle called 15 Child Stars Who've Aged Badly. Thanks, Internet! If you do not click like for this post, a child will die of leukemia. If you do click like, another child will not die of leukemia. Thanks, Internet! You've gotten all your errands done without talking to another actual human being. In weeks. Thanks, Internet. Whether you're liberal or conservative, you never have to see another opinion again that challenges you. Thanks, Internet. If you applied for a job 20 years ago, you had to send in a resume or fill out a job application. Now you just upload a resume and fill out a job application. Unless you applied to that company before, in which case you have to remember your password and username. And here's a hint, they didn't let you use the password you always use. Thanks, Internet!
For the final edition radio hour, Will Durst here with a few choice words about the Chris Christie juggernaut hitting its first iceberg. Apologies aside, the fact is either he knew about the George Washington Bridge closure and did nothing about it, which makes him a cretinous toad, or he had no idea that his staff closed down the bridge, which makes him a friggin' idiot. And nobody thinks Chris Christie is a friggin' idiot, especially him. As we saw during his two-hour press conference fielding questions from reporters. He didn't answer any of them, but that's not the point. The whole country is grateful that when Governor Bridge and Tunnel got into trouble, it wasn't for texting naked pictures of his junk to anybody. Wouldn't have been able to scrape that image off our collective retinas with a belt sander. And he sure got rid of the supposedly guilty staffer pretty quick. If throwing people under a bus were an Olympic event, Chris Christie would be waving to the cameras wearing a tracksuit in Russia next month. Double XL. The funny thing is, when you think of the porcine politico and major arteries being clogged, traffic patterns are not what first springs to mind. At least the guy's being up front and not trying to hide behind a rock. Of course, the Himalayas being outside of New Jersey could be partly responsible for that. Just worried that this is all going to end up badly, with a construction crew removing the Capitol Rotunda so that a crane can lift Chris Christie and his ego out to safety in order to undergo an operation that will staple together his lips. This guy doesn't run a banana republic. He is a banana republic. But still has to be considered the odds-on favorite for the 2016 GOP presidential nomination. After all, he's too big to fail. For the final edition Radio Hour, I'm Will Durst.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Charlie Rose Show. I'm Charlie Rose. Tonight's guest needs no introduction. Three-time recipient of the Academy Award and nominated 17 times. One of the greatest actors of this, or perhaps any generation, Meryl Streep.
Thank you, Charlie. It's wonderful to be here.
In your most recent film, August, Osage County, you play an alcoholic, abusive mother. From my understanding, you actually became alcohol for this role.
Oh, Charlie, that's silly. I don't know what I do. I simply become the role. I read the text and simply become what is needed to tell the story. That's all. It's silly.
I see.
Yes.
I've always had feelings for you.
Excuse me?
I've always had feelings for you.
Is that why you brought me here?
I'm not a smart man.
That's nonsense. You're one of the best interviewers ever.
I'm not a strong man.
Okay.
I've never been able to truly love.
Is this part of the interview?
I was never able to keep a pet.
Right. What is this?
I'm not capable of painting fine art.
Very few people are.
Long division has always tortured me.
When have you needed to do it?
I'm afraid of sunshine.
Can I leave?
I've never lusted after any of your daughters.
Thank you.
But
this is very sweet, Charlie, but
I've always had feelings for you.
Okay. I gotta go. This is weirder than hanging out with Bobby De Niro in his basement on a bad day.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. James Lipton did a peppier version of this last week.
Join us next week, where my guest will be Bruce Dern. I've always had feelings for him. I'm not an insightful man. I was never good at Jenga. Legos frighten me.
The Final Edition Radio Hour was performed by Darby Worley, Barry Lank, John Marshall, Rob Gordon, Jin Dodd, Kevin Janis, Jeff Chrysler, and Tony Hindra. It was written by Barry Lank, Lou Grossberger, John Marshall, Rob Gordon, and Tony Hindra. Will Durst is our esteemed West Coast correspondent. The Final Edition Radio Hour was edited by Andrew Hammond and produced by Jeff Chrysler and Tony Hindra. The Final Edition Radio Hour is the property of Final Edition LLC, copyright 2014.